book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Most people who study the book of Ecclesiastes imagine that there's nothing but doom and gloom that you can get in the way of a message out of Ecclesiastes. But read rightly, the book of Ecclesiastes has a whole lot of great wisdom in a positive way to teach the children of God. And this morning we want to look at some of this from the first two verses of Ecclesiastes 9. And our message this morning is in the hand of God. As we read these verses, I hope you'll come to an understanding about the glorious, wonderful, central truth that is taught in these two verses and elsewhere in the book of Ecclesiastes. Verses 1 and 2. Solomon says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him, before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath." Now in chapter 8, those of you that have read much in Ecclesiastes know that Solomon summarized in that chapter and elsewhere earlier in some of the other chapters that he discovered some things about life and death, and the things that he discovered, the knowledge, size of the knowledge that he'd gotten hold of was very small. As a man, he acknowledged that. And here in our text, he kind of forms a final conclusion about what he had considered in chapter 8. And if we were to look at chapter 8, look at what Solomon declares over there, and you can read that in your own time, but to overview it, if we looked at it, we'd see that Solomon gave a lot of study to life and death. And his conclusion was, as it was elsewhere in Ecclesiastes, that nobody has any control over the timeline for living or dying. You live so long and then you die. But you don't have any control over how long you live. You don't have any control over what the day of your death is. And so that was the conclusion that he came to. And he also gave a lot of study to how people treated one another. And he came to the conclusion that there were times when some people lorded it over other people and ended up hurting their own selves worse than they hurt those that they lorded it over. And he also noticed and commented about the fact that this kind of ruling over others that he was writing about in chapter 8 was considered wickedness, and that after men like this died, all their works that they had wrought in trying to lord it over everybody came to nothing. Fell apart. He noted that in the lives of people around him. And he also studied providence generally, as we see that he commented about in chapter 8. And he noted that the outcome for people, regardless of what kind of people they were, was very often the same, regardless of whether those people were good or whether they were evil. The outcome was the same. And he more or less was saying that you couldn't tell by what people went through in their lives whether they had lived for the Lord and were living for the Lord, or whether they had lived for evil and were living for evil. You couldn't tell by what was happening to them which way it was. This was a very wise observation by Solomon. And as he thought about these things and wrote about them, he realized that sometimes men who are evil have the unfolding of providences happen to them in such a way as though they were righteous. And on the other hand, he noted that a lot of times, or sometimes, righteous people, upright people, had providences unfold for them in their lives in such a way as though they were evil people. So he looked at all this and commented about it in chapter 8. And he'd observed that in this way that things went in the lives of human beings, that wicked men were encouraged to do wickedly and think wickedly and be wicked in general because they came to the conclusion themselves from looking at that there was neither reward nor punishment with God. They came to the conclusion that it didn't matter how you lived, that there was neither any kind of reward given to you for living right, nor any kind of punishment given to you for living wickedly. And so because of that, they were encouraged to live wickedly and do whatever it pleased them to do. Solomon noted all of that. And in his studies, he also came to the conclusion that no matter how a man tried, he couldn't come to an understanding of how and why life turned out this way. He couldn't come to a full understanding of how it was that sometimes righteous men experienced the awfulest woes, and unrighteous, wicked men got along ever so well. And on the other hand, certain wicked men experienced calamities, and certain righteous people experienced great blessings and happiness. He couldn't come to an understanding of this, and his summary was, nobody can come to an understanding of why that's so. How does it happen that way? Why does it happen that way? And so, as he thought on that, these discoveries are what he's commenting about in our text verses when he says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this." Or in other words, he's saying that after not being able to understand all of this way that things happen to men in their lives, he was still able to conclude that what he says in verses 1 and 2 are very true. Regardless of how you can explain how providence acts upon men, what he says about God and righteous men in verses 1 and 2 is still true nevertheless. And that's what we want to look at this morning. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will help us as we look at this, give us an understanding about it, because these truths are the foundation for us keeping our spiritual perspective in these evil times. It is the foundation of us staying spiritually sane when it seems like the whole world is coming to pieces. So let's look at them. The first thing that I want us to notice in verse 1 is that Solomon says, "I know this, that the wise and their works are in the hand of God." Now, before we get to the real, get the idea that that could be anybody, let me be very clear to declare that he's talking about saved folks. Nobody has any wisdom unless it comes from God. You can talk about man-made wisdom all you want to, but man-made wisdom is foolishness with God. And when a scripture talks about wise people and righteous people, it's talking about folks who have received the wisdom of God through salvation, and they've received the righteousness of Christ as a transfer from Christ so that God sees them as upright. So that's the people that he's talking about. And what he says here is, "I know this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." Think about the fact of that for just a moment. Doesn't knowing that Scripture cannot lie, God will not lie, and that Scripture that you love tells you that the righteous and the wise are in the hand of God, doesn't the very fact of it coming out in Scripture like this help us to accept what we don't understand about how life goes? Doesn't it help? When you think about the fact that, I mean, we see Our brothers and sisters go through some terrible stuff. And we see wicked men live in opulence and riches and wealth and ease all of their lives. And we say, how can this be? How can this be? And when we think that, doesn't it feel good to read here that the Scripture of God says, you know what? You that are God's people are righteous in His sight because He gave you righteousness. Have wisdom because He gave you wisdom. You folks, I know, nevertheless, regardless of what happens, are in the hand of God. The reality of it so strengthens us to just accept what we don't understand about how life goes. And it helps us, brothers and sisters, in another way too. It helps us to submit to what comes and goes. Just knowing that if I got to take a ride down the road of sorrow, I'm in the hand of God on that trip, helps me take that ride. And if I enjoy something above other men, if I enjoy riches or ease of life or comfort or having a lot of folks that want to help me and be with me and lots of friends and enjoy all kinds of things that are happening in my life, knowing that I'm in the hands of God helps me know that, hey, if I get a little bit out of sorts, if I get a little bit out in left field in enjoying all these things and living in this kind of pleasure, that in being in the hands of God, God knows just exactly how to put the squeeze on me a little bit and get me to the right spiritual place, even in a state of riches or enjoyment, comfort or pleasure. So the fact of it is a wonderful thing to know for God's children. Now, what about the comfort of it? Just the general comfort of it altogether. Our affairs as God's people, our lives and our deaths being in the hand of God can be an enormous comfort to us and an encouragement to us, brothers and sisters, when we realize how perfectly equipped God is for that job that He's taken on Himself. Now you think about the fact that this is the all-knowing, all-seeing God that's got you in His hand. And you know you've got some things to face in your life. You don't have any idea what they are, and you don't understand why they come sometimes. And even when they come and you're in the middle of them, you don't understand why they affect you like they do. But know this, you can find comfort in the fact that you're in the hand of God, and He is well equipped to take care of that job. Now, we know that God is perfectly equipped for this guardianship work because when we think about how powerful God is and what all He knows, we know that He's capable. We can't, as God's people, as I've already been suggesting, we can't see the future. You cannot predict what's going to happen to you when you go out that door today. Have no way of knowing. Have no way whatsoever of knowing what faces you out there in the world. You don't know what's going to happen to you in your work week coming up this week. None of these things are known to you. You don't know what obstacles you've got to face. You don't know the hills that you've got to climb. You don't know the valleys that you've got to go through. You don't know the sunshine that you may have or the clouds that may hover over you all week. You don't know the troubles that you may get into. You don't even know the joys that you may find pleasure in. But God is equipped because He is omniscient. He knows it all. And you're in His hand. He knows everything that's going to happen to you next week. He knows everything that's going to happen to you from this moment forward. He's known all along. God is omniscient. And so, having the knowledge and the sense and understanding that our God is omniscient should give every one of us comfort about the future and what it holds. Job said in Job 24:1, Why, said Job, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His days? Job is asking a question. He's asking a question. He's in confusion about what's happening to him. But he says, he confesses this, yes, Lord, I'm in confusion, but I know this. I know that You as the Almighty, that times are not hidden from You. And Job knew he was in God's hand. Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 21 and verse 7, as Jesus was asking him those very embarrassing questions, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter finally got to the place the third time that question came up. He said, Lord, You know all things. Oh, Peter, for all of his failings, knew that Christ knew all things. And being in the hand of our Lord Christ, why, we ought to be quite comfortable and be totally comforted that we don't have to face the future of uncertainty wondering if it's going to turn out all right, because we're in God's hand and He knows everything. Second of all, when we think about this great truth of being in the hand of God, we can't always understand what is the right way to travel. In fact, we have a bad habit of getting off to the wrong way all too often. We can't know what the right way is. And we can't always understand what justice and fairness is all about. I mean, we can't understand, we don't make good decisions about being just, equitable, and being fair in our dealings with one another and with humanity in general. And we don't do it right because we don't understand it. But God, our God, in whose hand we rest, is perfectly righteous 100% of the time. Now, what does that mean? It means that God is right first time, every time. He knows exactly how to be just, that is, equitable, fair. God knows how to be just. God knows the right way. And He understands clearly what the right way is for us. And being in His hand, we can find comfort in that truth about God. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 1, righteous art Thou, O Lord, when I plead with Thee. You ever think about that? You know, we need an understanding of fairness, but we also need to experience fairness in our life. And when we want things to be fair for us, and we want to be fair to others, we need to be like Jeremiah and say, Lord, I know You're righteous, so I can come and plead to You about righteousness. Now, like Jeremiah, we have confusion about what is right and what is wrong. We have confusion about what is why things turn out that the way that they do among men, but we can still say with Jeremiah, You're righteous, Lord, and I can plead with You on that basis. So he says, yet let me talk with Thee of judgments. He says, Lord, I know You're completely fair and You see things exactly right, but let me talk to You about judgment. And this kind of goes to the central theme of our text here this morning, brothers and sisters. He says, let me plead to You about judgment. Wherefore, says he in his pleading, doth the way of the wicked prosper? See, Jeremiah's got the same questions, the confusion that Solomon had. He says, how is it, Lord, that You let the wicked prosper? I come to You with those frustrations. I come to You with those confusions because I don't understand what righteousness really is. I don't understand the fullness of it because I'm just human, Lord. But I can know this. I am in Your hand and You are a totally righteous God. You know exactly what fairness is. So brothers and sisters, when we get confused like Solomon, like Jeremiah, about how things turn out like they do, how the righteous sometimes suffer awful things, and the wicked sometimes get the best things that can be imagined on earth. Let's just remember that God's fair. We don't understand what He's doing with all that, but we can rest in His hand that He's being fair. We'll find out what that fairness all was about in eternity. We'll find that out. We'll find out why it was that wicked man won, lived his life in complete ease, enjoyed everything you could ever imagine, while the saint of God who tried his best to serve God and tried to be upright all of his life suffered one bang after another through his life. We'll understand that. Right now we can't. Like Solomon, we have to say, I don't understand it. But this one thing I know. The wise and the righteous are in the hand of God. And I can rest in that and wait for God to reveal to me what this thing about righteousness is all about. Now there's a third thing that we see when we start thinking about the fact and the comfort of resting in the hand of God. And that is, like Solomon, we can't in this life come to understand absolute purity. I mean, that is, we can't understand what it's like to be without the slightest conflicting thought. We can't understand at all why it is that we understand that God talks about holiness and God talks about purity, but we don't fully understand the essence of that. We get hold of little tidbits of it. We enjoy from time to time knowing that we're in close with God, and we feel that our life is free from all entanglements and snares. But even in that state, we realize that there's a dirtiness that clings to us in the flesh. Because we're humans with human faults and failings. Even when we approach to the Holy God, we're just human. And we don't understand about this thing of absolute purity. But God is without a single conflicting element. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't have any conflict. And you know, that's what happens in the soul and life of a child of God, because there is that mixture of holiness from God and that part of the man that's impure or unclean. There's an admixture. There's a conflict then in the soul and heart of every human being. Every one of us have a conflict going on. We fight a war every day because the holiness is there, but the uncleanness, the old carnal, depraved man is there, and they war. But God doesn't have any of that. This God, in whose hand we rest, He has no conflict to blur His vision about what He wants for us and what He'll do for us and where He'll lead us and how He'll protect us. He has no conflict at all, because in pure holiness, God's decisions are made by the one and only all pure God. Now, as we think about this further, we realize that as humans, even as God's people, never can have a perfect of an understanding of what it means to be totally good. We'll never understand in this life what it means to be totally good. The Bible sadly has to say about us in the third chapter of Romans, there's none good. No, not one. None. That means every one of us, see. And so we're stuck with that as human beings. We'll never in this flesh understand what it means to be totally good. But this God in whose hands we rest, He is all good. Everything about God is completely good. Now, that old ruler in Solomon's thoughts in chapter 8 that lords it over people, I'm sure very often imagines, whoever he is, imagines that as a ruler over a group of people, he's doing them good. And he's doing good. He himself is good in doing good for their souls. while at the same time, this person that lords it over people is without doubt filled with all kinds of carnal things that are nothing less than wickedness. And yet he imagines himself to be a good ruler and a good leader and to be doing the best for people who don't understand what's good for them. And that's the way we all are in greater and lesser degrees. But God, who rules the universe, knows exactly what is good and what is not. And as we rest in His hands, God makes the decisions about what we will receive for good. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. Here's a really great turning point for us as His people. If we are in the hand of God as His people, and this God who holds us in His hand knows exactly what is good without the slightest taint of bad in it, and the Bible tells us in the 8th chapter in the 28th verse of the book of Romans that all things work together for good to them that love God, can this God in whose hands we rest, who knows exactly what is good, ever give us one bad thing since all things work together for good? I don't think so. Doesn't that answer a lot of questions about those confusions that Solomon readily confessed in the 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes and also here later on down in the 9th chapter? Doesn't that answer a lot of questions? And can't we come to the place to say with Solomon, I don't know all these things. I don't know about this stuff. But I know this, that God's righteous people, God's wise people are in the hand of this God who is totally good and has no admixture of evil. Now, in all the uncertainty then around us, brothers and sisters, and as a result of our own ignorance, and as a result of the rebellion against God in the world, I think it seemed like everything about existence happens a whole lot like the roll of a dice. Like the roll of dice, it may come up a 7, it may come up 11, it may come up snake eyes. And as we suffer through this earth, through this world, a lot of times we feel like that's kind of the way things roll up. And it's almost like Solomon's writing tells us that's the way it rolls up. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying as you look out upon the world and see these things happening, it looks like it happens to the good the same way it happens to the wicked. It happens to the righteous the same way it happens to the evil when you look out over the earth. But he clarifies that. And that's our second point and our last point for the most part. Look at the last phrase in our text verse, in verse 1. And notice that he finishes that statement with this. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. What are you saying, Solomon? Let me tell you what he's saying, brothers and sisters. He's saying, a man cannot tell by the good and the bad or whatever happens to him in this life. Nobody can tell or make a judgment call about whether God loves them or doesn't love them just by looking at the surface of their experiences. As I've already been suggesting, a lot of God's people suffer some terrible things. It's the Lord's people who've been murdered by the millions for standing for the truths of God, by cruel and ungodly men who claim to be religious men. And when you look at what happened to them, you could almost say, if you judged by the surface, you'd say, oh, they were really bad men. Because they got killed for standing for that thing they were standing for. See how you would come to that judgment? But Solomon says, you can't tell whether you're loved of the Lord or hated of the Lord based on what you see happening on the surface of one's life. You can't tell about that. And that ought to warn us, brothers and sisters. Now, it ought to warn us and remind us that just because things look like they happen, just like the roll of dice, that they don't really happen like the roll of dice. They happen by the plan and the perfect knowledge of God. And we find that because we understand that we are in the hand of God, there's something more for us in these things that happen, even when they're negative things. There's something more than a roll of the dice going on here. And that something that's going on is that God deals with His people in the world through all of these things that they may get honor and glory, that they may give honor and glory to Christ, and that they themselves may go through some experiences that they couldn't get a spiritual lesson from any other way. God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And He's got things for us to go through that when we go through them, we will gain spiritual advancement. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. And notice the last statement in verse 2. All things come alike to all. There's one event for the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. So we cannot, brothers and sisters, and must not read the unfolding of providence to be an indicator of our standing with God. We must not read it that way. And more than that, let me say that we are taught by the Lord to not base our happiness on what our status or our circumstances are at any point in our life. The biggest mistake human beings make is to base their happiness on whether, oh, things are comfortable and I've got lots of money and everything's going my way. And they assume from that they're in a happy state. And they let that be the driver of their happiness. And we ought not to ever do that. Don't let the unfolding providences of God fail to draw your attention to the Lord for a lesson to be learned. So let's remember this rule. We as God's people are in His hand. And rule number 2, let's remember that men are happy or they are miserable not according to how easy things are, but they are happy or miserable according as how they are under the love or the hatred of God. That's how we know. If we know that God loves us, if we know that we love God, then we are happy. And if we're not happy psychologically, it's because we've been drawn away towards some other measuring stick. Because we have the capacity and the opportunity and the spiritual incentive to be happy if we love God, we know we're loved of God, we should be happy. And look for happiness in that. There's a third rule. And that's this that Solomon teaches us. There's very little difference between the conditions of the righteous and the wicked in this world. Very little difference in the condition between the two kinds of people. Let's never forget that. And we know that there are cases in the Bible, many cases, where wicked men have been rich beyond measure and saved men have been poor. Joseph was favored by the Pharaoh of Egypt. But you know what? Haman was favored by the infidel king also. The wicked Haman. Ahab was killed in battle. God struck him down for his wickedness against the prophet and against the people of the land. But you know what? Josiah, that great, famous king that God blessed so richly, who went to such lengths to bring righteousness to the kingdom, was also killed in battle. In Jeremiah 24, we read about some good figs and some bad figs in two separate baskets. And God's pointing out that in Israel there are some good people and there are some bad people. And in that prophecy, God says, both the good figs and the bad figs are going to be taken away to a foreign land. Both the good people that serve God and the bad people that don't serve God are going to be taken away into a foreign land. So as it happens to the righteous, so it happens to the wicked in many affairs of life. And we don't want to ever measure our blessings and whether or not we're approved of God based on how things are happening to us in our life. God's people, wise people, correctly interpret the thing that happens to them in life if they're following God and looking to God for the answer. God's people, in following wisdom, they want to understand the ways of the Lord. And they want to attempt to turn every providential event into a lesson about why God is doing what He's doing and what He's instructing them about in doing it. And when God's people, the wise and the righteous, realize that they can't understand why things turn out the way that they do, they'll also accept the fact and believe, as Solomon said in our text, and trust in that and rest in that, that the righteous and the wise are in the hand of God. When you can't figure it out, brothers and sisters, and isn't that more often than not? When you can't figure it out, the wise and the righteous are in the hand of God. And you can rest there. Not even knowing what's come to pass or what's happening to you and why it's happening, you can rest that you're in the safe hand of an omnipotent, a righteous, a thrice holy, an all-seeing, and a protecting God. And that makes everything okay.